Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
When they take some photos, the world goes into frenzy. We've seen the power of influencers, how they are able to influence people through social media, through mainstream media. In fact, there is somebody who says, for those of you who are very good with history, when America coughs, the world does what? Or when the America sneezes, the world catches a cold. Have you heard of that phrase? Because there are some powerful nations, some powerful people. And in the world today, power is measured by influence. How much influence do you have? How many followers do you have on TikTok? How many followers do you have on Facebook? And so on and so forth. Power is measured by wealth. How much money, how much property do you have? You know, they keep on listing for us the Forbes list of the, top 50 wealthiest people in the world and so on. Power is measured by control. How are you able to control people? Organizational control. I can ask you, for example, in your organization where you work or used to work, you might know of at least one person who used to pull all the strings. They might not necessarily have been the CEO or the managing director, but even the managing director lives in the fear of them. Because they know how to pull strings. We call it technical know-who. They know who to go to. They know which buttons to press. And this is all about power, becoming powerful. People want to gain control. And we've seen this. But above all, there is the power that does not come from money, power that does not come from status, and power does not come from votes, power that does not come from influence. It is called the kingdom power. It is not given by man, and I thank God because it might not be what men consider to be power. It can neither be counseled by man. It is the power that heals the sick. It is the power that drives out demons and restores and changes lives. The power of the kingdom. And when the Bible says when Jesus came and appeared and he began to do things, everybody was amazed. And they said that he does not do things like our scribes. He does not do things like our rabbis. He speaks with power. He does things with power. The Bible says, and I think we might need to get this on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. I'm going to read from the Truth Translation by Colin Urquhart. It says, for God's kingdom is not about empty talk, but by revealing God's power. The kingdom of God is not just talking about it. And today, at some point, we are going to try and demonstrate that power within this meeting so that we can know how to release and to operate in that power. The NLT version says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. We have heard whatever needs to be said. People are not short of words. I put on Facebook earlier on this week that you cannot persuade with your mouth what you have not commanded with your life. Because we are tired of listening, but what we want to see right now is the demonstration of people living a kingdom-fueled life. Hello? Are we still here? It is not just enough to say I'm a Christian. We want to see the fruit thereof. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life. We want to see, the Bible says that living a life worth the gospel. We want to see the gospel of God at work in your life. For the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but revealing God's power. Paul tells the Corinthians, and he also says to the Thessalonians, when I came to you, I did not come to you with words of persuasiveness. That's what he says to the Corinthians. To the Thessalonians, he says, I did not come to you with empty words, but I came to you with a demonstration of the power of God, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that is what we need to release. I remember when I used to lecture, I've said this many times, I would turn up to lecture and I would say, God, today I want your power to be demonstrated. And God would give me simple situations where to release his power. A student who has been disempowered all their lives, you cannot amount to anything. You are not clever enough. But the moment I interact with them, I say, you can make it. You can shine in this area. And hope and, you know, faith begins to build up in them. Before we know it, at the end of the academic year, they have passed their course and have passed well. Releasing the power of God in whatever situation you are in. Hallelujah. This is the kind of power that Jesus walked in. He did not preach religion. He did not just come to do things and then disappear. He established the kingdom. And the good thing is, this power was not just for him. It is also for us. We have access to it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If you say you abide in Jesus, you ought to walk as he walked. Now, that word walk there, in the original Greek, it means to do life. You know, when you say, how do you, your walk, how are you conducting yourself? How are you living your life? So if you abide in Jesus, then you ought to live like Jesus lived. You ought to speak like Jesus spoke. You need to operate as Jesus operated, because you are abiding in him. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, then his power, his authority, his strength, his might become our inheritance. Let me repeat that. His strength, his might, his power become our inheritance. Paul prays, and I'm going to come to that in just a short moment, that I pray that God may open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that you may understand the hope you have in this calling, that you may understand the great inheritance. And then he says, and that you may know the power that is at work in the inside of you. That reminds me, I just need to remind everybody that we need to enroll for the DNA course that starts in September. Because the last day of DNA course, we talk about our inheritance in Christ. Our inheritance in God. This becomes our inheritance. His power then enables us to live a life according to our God-given calling for his glory and his honor. Hallelujah. So why does God invite us to share in the power of Christ? Is that he may release his nature. He may release the power of Christ to humanity, and that the gospel might be preached to a dying and a lost world. And we saw that when we looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we saw that they are a witness to the world. So then I want to go to the book of Matthew. And from the book of Matthew, I want us to dwell on some scriptures there. And from them, we are going to see about four dimensions of power. And I will not elaborate on one of them because we have covered it very well in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in the context of power and authority in the life of Jesus and in the life of the early church, there were four significant words that were used in Greek to try and describe the power that was at work. And I'm going to do this. Give me the table there on the screen. We are going to look at these four words. I'm not going to dwell on these because it's not like a theology class I'm teaching or anything like that. But I want us to understand these words so that you can know how to operate in them. So the first word we find that is used to speak about power in the New Testament is kratos. Is there anyone from Greece here? It's a Greek word, and I hope I'm pronouncing it very well. Just remember that English is my fourth language, so Greek could be my sixth or seventh language. Kratos. So kratos is a supernatural or divine strength. It is dominion and might. It is often used to describe God's overwhelming and triumphant power, God's victory, his rule, his sovereignty. It is a power that changes situation and brings victory over circumstances and situations. And a good example is Ephesians 1, verse 19 to verse 20 or 21, where we see Paul says that, he talks about that you may know the exceedingly great power in the inside of you. The Bible says that this power is the same mighty power that God used when he raised Christ from the dead. So this means dominion. The power that is able to overcome sin, the power that is able to overcome death and make people to live in victory. That is the power of God. We shall be looking at that in just a short moment. Number two is dynamis. Dynamis, like, you know, from the word dynamite, an explosion. It refers to an inherent might or ability. It is the raw power. It is the capacity to perform miracles. We saw that in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where the Bible says, with great power, the disciples testified about the resurrected Christ. The miraculous power. Acts 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, you shall receive power, you shall receive dynamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, all Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Acts 10 verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, with dynamis, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the enemy, because God was with him. And obviously, I've mentioned Acts 4:33, with great power, with great dynamis, the apostles of Jesus Christ continue to testify about his resurrection. Then the next word that is used to talk about power is energema. Now, energema is what we've been talking about when discussing the Holy Spirit here in our congregation, in our small groups. Energema refers to the manifestation of divine activity or the operations of the Holy Spirit. This is God's active power being released through people, through circumstances, which enables the life of Christ to flow in the body of Christ. And we discuss this to a good length, all right? So the Bible says there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 6, that there are diversity of operations, there are diversity of energema, but it is the same God, the Holy Spirit, at work in all. So it is a concept of God working power through the spiritual gifts. If you were not here or if you've forgotten about that, please go back to our podcasts. They are on Spotify, they are on our website, they are on our WhatsApp channel. And we talked about the power gifts and how to operate in them. And a good example is Luke chapter 8 and verse 46, where the woman with the issue of blood comes and touches Jesus. So Jesus was not having a miracle service. Jesus was not praying for people. He was not even, allow me to say, conducting a healing service. But when this woman touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, Jesus said in verse 46, power has gone out of me. This is the operation of divine power without any active command. It's just power that is there. How many of us know that God has empowered us with an ajima? You can walk into a situation and people begin saying, what is it about you? There is something different about you. It is the operation of the gift of God. I've always told you about this particular time I went to pray for a certain family. When I went into their house, they took off their shoes and knelt down and they said, we perceive you're a man of God. I hadn't even said anything because of the energema that is operating in your life. People begin to cry. I told you this testimony. I think, I don't know if I shared here or in one of the meetings, about a time I was traveling to London. I think it was one of meetings, and I wrote a card to somebody. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you were going through, just to let you know that God cares. And the woman started crying. That was a while back when I was going to law school. And this is the power of God, the energema. And every one of us, we saw from the word of God, we've got energema. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And that is why you pray for people, because of the energema, the operating power of the Holy Spirit. I like putting it this way. Even when you come in here to this building, when it is all dark and there is nothing showing like there is any power, the building is still wired. The building is still connected. And all that I need to do is to turn the lights on and the power will manifest. Either as light, as heating, as whatever it is, this one you call it, the power is always there. So you are power packed. I said you're power packed. May the Lord bless those who are saying amen. And the last one is exousia. Exousia refers to delegated authority. It is like jurisdiction. It's just the power and the right to act. It means the right to command, to enforce, or to make decisions. I like putting it this way. It is the ability to use power. Because we can have power, but without releasing it, then that power is not being used. So the authority here is exousia is the ability to use power, which you're calling authority. Now, I want you to understand that this is delegated. It's given to us. Colossians 1 and verse 16, the Bible says that all power belongs to God. All authority belongs to God. So God gives us his authority. He gives us his power for us to start operating in it. And I will show you this in just a short moment. Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority, all exousia has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Luke 10 and 19, he says, behold, I give you authority. I give you exousia to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and you know the rest of it. Acts 3 verse 6 to verse 16, a very good example here. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So exousia here is what releases the dynamis. It releases the energema. When you command with authority, when you speak with authority, the Bible says he spoke, then he lifted him and his body was energized and he was able to stand up. That is authority, the right to act, the right to command. So Matthew 8 verse 1 to verse 16. Now, I know we are good Berean believers. We always go back home to read the word of God and to check and to confirm if what Victor said was true with an open, not with a critical spirit, with an open heart for you to be blessed and to receive secondary revelation. Hallelujah. See, some of my jokes, you will get them next week. But anyway. Yeah, it is one thing to go back to read the word of God and to meditate and to discuss the word of God, to receive secondary revelation and to be a Berean believer. And it's a totally different thing to operate from a critical attitude and spirit. That is why you need to come to the DNA course. In the DNA course, the last day again, you are taught about the different fivefold ministries. And we are told that one of the not weaknesses, but one of the main issues about being prophetic, if you're not careful, you can become overly critical. May the Lord help us. So anyway, I was just about to say, because I know you are good believers and you're good Christians, you are going to go and read Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to verse 16. It's a long portion of scripture, so I'm not going to put it on the screen. But in this particular portion, in fact, read the whole of Matthew chapter 8. The context of Matthew chapter 8 is Jesus has finished giving the Sermon on the Mount. You know, right, in my book, I have explained very well that Jesus used to teach and do. That's what the Bible says. He used to teach and do. He used to give the doctrine and then the manifestation. Demonstration after teaching. Now, he has given a big sermon on the mount, many parables about the kingdom, and now he comes down. The Bible says he came from the mountain. He comes down from the mountain from where he was not praying. He was giving the sermon on the mount, and immediately he begins to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says the first person that comes to him is a leper. And when the leper comes to him, he asks Jesus, are you willing to heal me? And the Bible says, Jesus says, yes, I am willing to heal you. And then he laid his hands on him, he touched him, and he healed him, and he told him to go and show himself to the priest. There are five miracle accounts in Matthew 8, verse 1 to verse 16. And I would want you to take time and go through them. The first miracle account is that miracle account of the leper who was cleansed. The second miracle account is that of the centurion's servant. Then there is the Peter's mother-in-law, and so on and so forth. So let me just bring it closer home so that we can do a little bit of praying and applying. So the five miracles we see, they provide a good portrait, in my opinion, of how to operate in kratos, how to operate in dynamis. Energema is flowing in all of them, but most importantly in exousia, the authority that is released. And I believe that this is a strategic revelation from God, because Jesus has just been teaching the principles of the kingdom. Now he comes and does miracles. All these miracles are different. And this is what I want you to catch as a revelation. So the first one is the healing of the leper. The power used here, according to the word of God, is kratos power. It is the dominion and ability to reign supreme over situations. Now, leprosy in the Bible or in the Jewish culture, it symbolizes for us today sin. So anytime you hear or you see a leper being cleansed, then the deeper meaning there is sin being cleansed or sin being forgiven. And in the Levitical order, in the Levitical law, it was forbidden to touch a leper. But when Jesus sees this particular person, the Bible says he touched him. And the most interesting part here is because not only was it against the law, and Medix, you can help me here a little bit, it is because leprosy is contagious. So I hear, I'm not a medic. So touching someone who is a leper, this is my wife and she's not a leper. Touching someone who has leprosy means that you stand a risk of contracting that. So in the law of Moses, touching an unclean person, touching an unclean thing, then you also become unclean. But Jesus touches the unclean person, and instead of him becoming unclean, the unclean person becomes clean. Because there is power that flows from Jesus to this particular person. And this is kratos power. It is the power and dominion over situations. More specifically, in this particular text, it is power and dominion over sin. Now, the Bible says that we have the same power. Let's read together Ephesians 1, verse 19 to verse 21, where it declares that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he uses the kratos power. The Bible says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. That you experience the immeasurable greatness of God's kratos made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power, verse 20, that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Verse 21. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. Hallelujah. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but the age that is coming. So this is kratos. It is dominion. It is rulership. It is reigning supreme. And the Bible says that this power that operated on Jesus by making unclean people become clean, by raising him from the dead, the same power is at work in the inside of you. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. So it is the power of life. It is the power of God's grace. Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible says it is the power of indestructible life. So if you have Jesus in the inside of you, you have the power of indestructible life. And the Bible says even though the body might die, you will never die. Because there is that resurrection power in the inside of you. This is a power that helps you to overcome sin. Hallelujah. It is a power of grace. The grace of God helps us to overcome sin. Let me show you this. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. And I will jump to verse 14. Romans 6 verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul then between verse 2 and verse 14, he gives a very big sermon there about being baptized as being likened to being buried with Christ, dying with Christ, and then being resurrected together with Christ, walking in the power of new life in Christ. And he says in verse 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now look at verse 14. He says, let's go to verse 14, verse 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead because of the power of Kratos that has resurrected you together with Christ, and your bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I declare to you that sin shall not have dominion over you. You are under the grace of God. You are not under the law of Moses. We have overcome sin. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore today, anybody who's struggling with sin, I speak the grace of God upon your life. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. The Bible says, Titus 2, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. Hallelujah. Somebody say no. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I'm talking about Kratos, the power of God to overcome sin, the power of God to rise above situation, the power of God to dominate and to rule over every earthly element because you're now alive in Christ. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus did not become unclean. He cleaned the man. We can change situations. I like saying this, that we can adapt without adopting. I can be with people who are sinful, but I will not adopt their ways. I will adapt in the environment. I told you last time that I can become all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. I call it contact without contamination. Hallelujah. Because, you know, yesterday we were talking amongst the men and we went to that verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, he came not eating and drinking and you called him a lunatic. Jesus Christ has come drinking and eating with sinners and you call him a glutton. Because he knew I can be with them, but I will influence them. I can go to the house of Zacchaeus and I can influence them. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not trying to give you a license to go into every other dingy place and dodgy place because it's very easy for whoever is up there to fall down and whoever is down here to be pulled up. Hello? Someone still remains true. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers or mockers. That still remains true. But what I'm trying to say is, no matter the situation where God puts you, in the inside of you, you have that Kratos power that can dominate and can overrule and can reign supreme. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Because of the grace of God that teaches you to say no to all ungodliness, to all of these worldly passions, and to help you live upright lives. So this Kratos power, Jesus cleansing the lepers, he's telling us, tell you what, guys, you can do it. You can change situations around you. You don't have to be made defiled. You don't have to be made unclean. You can go in there and change situation. Number two, the centurion servant. So after Jesus heals the leper, there comes this Roman soldier. And He recognizes the authority of Jesus. He compares that with his own military command. He knows that authority flows from above and is executed below. He knows the lines of command. I've never served in the military. I might not fully understand this. For those of you who have ever served, may the Lord bless you indeed. And those of you who are thinking of doing it, may the Lord bless you too. But anyway, the line of authority flows. The commands flow. He says, I said to this one, come, and he comes. I said to this one, go, and he goes. Why? Because my words have authority. He recognized that Jesus was also operating under the same authority. He had a divine authority. And listen to this. He believed that Jesus had the ability to operate in the spiritual, in the supernatural, to release a word in the supernatural, and that word can be effected anywhere at that particular moment. You see, when we pray, especially on Wednesday night, when we pray together, pray for people who are lying on their hospital beds, pray for people who are in their bedroom sleeping. We believe that as we pray at that particular moment, we can change their situations wherever they are. Because we do not have to be there physically to be praying over them. Psalm 107 and verse 20, the Bible says, He sent His word. He sent His word, and His word healed their diseases. So this man says, you have the authority. Your word can transverse and transcend situations. It can go through miles. It can go through situations. It can go through locked doors. It can go through any kind of a hindrance, because your word carries the authority to effect change. And verse 13 of Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says, when Jesus said it, that servant was healed at that very moment. Exousia. That is why you can pray for your daughter when she's in another continent. That is why you can pray for your friend when he is in another country. Why? Because the authority of the word of God. You can declare the decrees of God. You can declare the word of God. And that word will take power and will take effect wherever you want it to go. Praise the name of Jesus. Are we still together? So then, how do we apply this in our lives? We have to understand that the kingdom power operates when released by faith. Jesus has given us His authority, so we need to command situations. You see, right now, there is a big debate, and you know, these are the last days. You've got so many false prophets who've come around and all that kind of a thing. And there is a debate going on in the world right now about that I decree and I declare. You know, I declare and I decree. People saying, oh, it's not of God. It's just, you know, all these kind of things. And I told you when I talk about grace here, that if you ever find a Christian doctrine having some controversy around it, it means that there is some power within there that the devil does not want the church to have. So people either swing to the other end of the pendulum. We have excesses of it, or we have not enough of it. Yesterday during the men's breakfast, we had a very good discussion. And I like what Lamu said. And he said, the Bible says we prophesy in parts. We know in parts. And one day when we go to heaven, we shall gather together and say, ha ha, at the end of it, oh, the Baptists were right on this area. Oh, the Presbyterians got it right here and there. That was a good insight. Because he was trying to say that we are all so different, but we have the unity of faith. We have the unity of purpose. You know the seven unities in the Bible? One God, one Father, one baptism, one Lord. So then, therefore then, here it becomes important for us to understand here that we can release the word. And the enemy does not want you to do that. That is why he brings controversy over you releasing the word. Matthew 8, the guy says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. Jeremiah 23, verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, so Jeremiah 23, God is indicting false prophets. And he's saying, man, you are just prophesying falsehood. But in verse 28, he says, let him who has my word speak it. Some versions say faithfully. Others say truthfully. It doesn't matter. Whoever has the word of God, just speak it. Just release it. And he says, and Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Release the word of God. If God says you are healed, you are healed. If God says you're above and not beneath, you're above and not beneath. If the Bible says you shall be the first and not the last, you shall be the first and not the last. Lay your hands on your children and release the word of God. I speak the word of God upon your life. I declare the word of God upon your life. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, Psalm 2 and verse 7, I will declare the decree of the Lord. Now, this is a very loaded statement. I will declare the decree of the Lord. To declare is to proclaim, is to make known, is to announce. So what am I announcing? I am announcing the decree of the Lord. What is a decree? A decree is a legal situation, is a legal, It is a legal word. It's a thing that has been established and has authority over it. Praise the name of Jesus. It's like a law. It's something that is already settled. So if I declare the decree of the Lord, I am declaring the word of God over my situation. I am declaring the mind of God over my situation. And that is why it is important, if you've got to walk in power, if you've got to walk in authority, you've got to know the word of God. I always pray the word of God. Because the word of God, it is the decree of God. The scriptures are the decrees of God. So when I pray over our situation, I say, Father, in agreement with your word, I declare and then I decree the word of God. And that is what brings about a change. Hallelujah. You don't declare your wishes. You don't declare a popular opinion. You don't declare any other good thing that sounds religious. You declare the decree of God. You declare the word of God over your situation. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Paul tells Timothy, wage warfare with a prophetic word that was given to you. So that word you have from God, wage warfare with it. I declare, the Bible says that my son shall prosper. My son shall flourish in the land. I told you when we used to declare the word of God that our child is a leader and not a follower. And then the school teacher comes and says, oh, your son likes following other children. And we decided it's the time to take it a notch higher. You are a leader, not a follower. You are a leader, not a follower. You are a leader, not a follower. It was just a matter of time that he became a leader in everything. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Ezekiel 37. It's not on the screen, don't worry. Ezekiel is taken to a valley of dry bones, or the valley of dry bones, and everything is so dry. And God asked him, can these bones live? And then he says, oh Lord, thou knowest. Then God says to him, now you need to go back to the introduction of the book of Ezekiel to see how Ezekiel received the word of God. Because he received it literally, physically. He was told to eat a scroll. And then from there he began to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. It's a very interesting encounter Ezekiel had with God. But he was so rich of the word of God in the inside of him that God said to him, prophesy to the dry bones. He did not say, okay, thank you. I will think, I'll know what to do about it. The Bible says he began to prophesy to the dry bones. This is what I love. Bible says, and as I was prophesying, the bones began to come back together. The femur looked for the tibia and fibula. I know some bones. The radio and the ulna located the humerus. I'm doing good. And the rib cage came back together. The cranium looked for the, what do you call it, this? Scapula and whatever, and clavicle. The bones were coming together. The carpals and the metacarpals, the tarsals and the metatarsals. I know bones. And the Bible says they started looking for each other. Why? Because the man of God was prophesying. I came to challenge you today by the word of God. You've cried over your situation long enough. You've moaned over your situation long enough. It is a time to prophesy. Exousia, decrees of God. Declare the decrees of God over your situation. Speak life to those dry bones in the name of Jesus. Speak hope where there is no hope. Speak life where there is no life. Speak uplifting where men are saying there is a casting down. Speak a new beginning where there is an end. Speak a light where there is darkness. Release the word. the word of God. As I'm standing here, I'm feeling in my heart the cry of some people saying that, Lord, I've waited for too long. And may the Lord strengthen you to wait. May God give you his grace. I'm going to read some words here, and I believe it's a word for somebody. That working in power and authority has impact that outlives your life. And there are some things that you're doing right now, even though you are not seeing the impact right now, it will reverberate for generations. Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, when Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and countless as the sand of the seashore. Listen to this. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Hebrews 11:13. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Verse 16, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Do not give up hope. Keep on holding on. For God will surely bring it to pass. In your lifetime, or maybe not. About 8 years ago, I was preaching in a youth conference. And as I ministered, a certain girl began to manifest demonic, whatever they're called. And because I don't like such kind of drama, we took her to a separate room to cast out the demons. And as we were casting out the demons, we got to the root of the issue. It was a spirit of bitterness, anger, and hatred towards her dad. And it so happens that at first I didn't recognize her because the lights were dim. It was at night. And we knew her dad. Actually, the dad is very close family friends of my wife. And we prayed. I mean, my wife's family. And we prayed. And we said that, okay, she first of all got delivered from that demonic oppression. And we called the dad back. The dad had abandoned the family. And it was a complicated story. And later on, we met in a restaurant, and the mother was like, Victor, we are still waiting. And I said, keep on holding on to the faith. Just last October, 6-7 years after we prayed and we declared that he's coming back, the father came and knelt down in church and got born again. I'm telling you, I was watching it online, and even myself, I cried. I just want to encourage somebody. Don't give up hope. The Bible says, do not throw away your confidence. Bible says, do not throw away your confidence. Don't grow weary. You shall reap a harvest. At the appointed time, it shall come to pass. Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Say, I will walk with power. I will release power. For I am powerful. Because the all-powerful God lives in the inside of me. His resurrection power is in the inside of me. I will walk with dominion. I will walk with authority. And I will walk with power over situations, over circumstances. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.